Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 17th, 2019, post-Father's Day. Hopefully all you dads got to be spoiled or pampered or went out to eat. Maybe some of you grilled or enjoyed some kind of meal, or maybe the honey-do list was minimized for one day.
Free weekend. So here's a question. Father's Day. I know this is stereotypical, and I apologize. Does the father like to do the grilling out on Father's Day, or would he prefer that the family grilled out for him on yeah. Father's Day?
Hey, Bill, can you answer that?
Well, my son does a great steak on the grill. So.
All right. Well, that's fortunate.
Yeah, I'm indifferent. Holly does great cooking.
Yeah.
We do grill out, but that's never been a pattern or habit or anything.
Okay.
But happy Father's Day, dads. We hope you had a good day, and we appreciate all your efforts, your hard work, the various things you do, and how God desires to work in and through you, modeling Christ and God's love to the family and those that you're in contact with, even those you work with. So
happy Father's Day, everybody.
Happy Father's Day.
A little late.
Yeah. Better late than never.
That's right.
Well, it's a Memorization Monday, which has been our habit for 15 weeks thus far. This will be the 16th verse we're working on together.
Hey, you know how they say that if you do something for X amount of days, like 21 or 30, you have a habit? This is weeks, but that may still count. We're getting up there to like that mark where it's like ingrained.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah.
I think I've been sliding the last week or two.
That's so funny because somebody asked me when you weren't here, they said, is Mark, he's so into this. Is he doing great getting all these memorized? And I said, well, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I have been, except I think I've backslid for 1 week.
Okay.
But this one I've had memorized for a long time, so maybe that's why. I can backslide a little, but I love reviewing these many nights. Many nights I've gone through these, like the first 10 or the first 20, and I'll go over them. But it seems like with the busyness, and if you were tuned in Friday, you heard about family time and some other adventures and things God's doing. So I think I've been
really
overwhelmed
exciting.
With so much. But I'm glad that we're launching into this new verse. It's a great one. It's Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, which is kind of amazing concept. Mm-hmm. We can approach a throne, God's throne.
I know.
And it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of just authority or this high power to be feared, though God should be feared in a healthy way.
You're preaching it, brother. That's really meaningful. That's right.
But the fact that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that's the character of God. He's a God that's full of grace and mercy, and he's willing and desiring to help us, to assist us, to work in and through us. It's just an amazing concept that this almighty sovereign God, creator of the universe, omnipotent, omniscient, you know, all-knowing, desires a personal relationship. It's, you can't really even fathom it. And when you try to get your mind around, why would a God that's so awesome care about an individual, care about me?
It's humbling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Humbling, and it also kind of covers something and makes you feel, wow, there's hope.
Yeah. So this is a great verse. So let me say it again because I'm kind of working through it.
All right. Then
we're going to do a special reading and then introduce a great guest, a friend. In fact, one of his, he and his wife Donna, their claim to fame is they're my Esther's godparents.
Oh, my.
So they have a very special role in our family.
Wow.
And they've known Holly for many years, and they have a great heart for internationals. In fact, Bill volunteers and helps out with our conversational English classes on Thursday, which, again, on Friday, I was telling everyone about how we're studying the Bible and some of the unique
You're pretty
ways.
Excited about that.
Yeah, I really am. And, well, we'll share, because Bill and Donna are a part of a ministry that is doing the very passion that I love, reaching internationals, loving on them, befriending them. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. So, Bill, stay tuned.
Stay with us, Bill.
Yeah, but it's Hebrews 4:16. 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this will be a special reading that Marianne will cover. It's out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart, and it's by Robert J. Morgan. And today's broadcast, along with the last 15 that have specific verses with them, along with our interview with Robert J. Morgan, along with what we did, about 6 or 8 or 10 readings of
just preparation,
some background information, and some of his first few chapters on why it's important to memorize Scripture, to get it into your heart, to understand God and His plan for us. So,
and that famous chapter got everybody kind of energized. You can do it.
You can do it. So we've been doing this together. This is our 16th week. And so if you're new to the radio ministry, or you're my cousin, or my sister, or my favorite niece out east, you can start it. We have books available. Hi, guys. We've been talking about you, praying for
you. I feel like
you.
I know you.
Yeah.
No.
So, if you're thinking, what's Mark saying? Well, tune into Friday's broadcast, and I kind of talked about some special things God's doing through the family that I'm getting to know more and more all the time. So, Hebrews 4:16.
Right.
Take it away, Marianne.
Here's Robert Morgan. Me reading Robert Morgan. Okay. This wonderful verse gives us the who, what, where, why, and when of prayer. Who? Let us. The exhortation of Hebrews 4:16 has your name on it. The context reminds us that Jesus, our great high priest, has gone through the heavens before us, sympathizing with our weaknesses. He opens the door into the throne room of the universe for us. What? Prayer is approaching God. Therefore, let us approach. It is drawing near. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God. And Deuteronomy 4:7 tells us how. By asking who else has a God as near to them, quote, as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call to Him. The chief purpose of prayer is recognizing the nearness of our King.
Okay, I must digress here,
because
I love that verse, James 4:8, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. But that was one of the subjects of part of the conversational English class.
Oh, really?
That you can pray, because we were talking about the Lord's Prayer and intercession, and they're like, well, what's intercession? And we kind of gave an example. Hear how you pray to a holy God that can be personal, that listens.
Yeah.
And so we were teaching them about prayer, because prayer was, to some of them, it seemed like a foreign concept or not understood. What do you mean by you pray to God? And here's a great example that this almighty sovereign God does hear our prayers and desires that we come before Him.
Where? Let us approach the throne of grace. It is a throne, a majestic and glorious seat of power. It's a throne of grace, not of judgment or condemnation. Through Christ, we approach the throne of one who is our friend, who desires fellowship with us, who wants to bless us from the endless resources of His grace. Why? So we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. Mercy is God's attitude of forgiveness in not giving us what we do deserve. Grace is His attitude of blessing and benevolence in giving us what we do not deserve. When? At the proper time. That phrase literally means at the opportune or needed time, just when we need it. And here's two quotes. The first is from G. Campbell Morgan. I am never tired of pointing out that the Greek phrase translated in the time of need is a colloquialism, of which the nick of time is the exact equivalent, that we may have grace to help in the nick of time, grace just when and where I need it. You are attacked by temptation, and at the moment of assault, you look to Him, and the grace is there to help in the nick of time. No postponement of your petition until the evening hour of prayer, but there, in the city street with the flaming temptation in front of you, turn to Christ with a cry for help, and the grace will be there in the nick of time. G. Campbell Morgan. And this is Amy Carmichael. One day I was in trouble and oppressed about many things. It was one of those days when everything seems to go wrong. I was trying to get my quiet time, but was constantly interrupted. Suddenly, these words came. I could hardly believe they were in the Bible. They seemed so new to my needy heart. Grace to help in time of need. I found them and read them and marked them with joy. And in that moment, the moment of their coming, I was renewed in strength. Amy Carmichael.
Wow, this whole chapter about, you know, recognizing God's grace, receiving it, receiving His mercy, finding Him, you know, seeking after Him, knowing Him, and the fact that He pursues us. You know all about that, Bill, you and Donna, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's been some years since we had you interviewed or were talking about some of your life journeys. And in fact, Donna's in the room with us, but she's back there praying up the program and supporting Bill from afar or from across the room. But
not too far.
Yeah, we're waving at her. Hi, Donna. So she didn't want to get too close to the microphone, knowing that I would like throw my net around her and bring her in. But
good heavens.
Both Bill and Donna, they have a real heart for international students. In fact, they're a part of a real exciting group here. And I was at one of the meetings in your house where some of the staff members came in and they were bringing you on board and talking about fundraising and reaching internationals and loving on them and like means and techniques and how they wanted to be supportive, felt like with U of I having such a great campus filled with internationals that they wanted to initiate staff here. And but maybe you can kind of take us through what is IFI, International Friendships Inc., and then your and Donna's role and how you're looking for volunteers and people getting involved. So give us kind of a thumbnail of what you're doing and your calling and how our listeners can be blessed and engaged and involved.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark. Yeah, Donna and I just have had a real heart for internationals all of our married life, and we've done this for over 30 years. We became familiar with international friendships back probably about 18 or 20 years ago, actually, and visited Columbus, Ohio, where they started their ministry. And they've been ministering now for 40 years. They were started by the vision of a couple people in a little church on the northwest side of Columbus, Ohio, that saw the international community that Ohio State had, and they decided to start to reach out to them in friendship. And it just blossomed very quickly and became a ministry in no time at all. So we're celebrating our 40th year as a ministry this year. We have 29 campuses now that we have a presence on, and there's 2,800 volunteers that are involved. And we're bringing this vision now to the University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. The main purpose of this is to involve the community of believers that we have in our area in reaching out in friendship and hospitality to the internationals who come here. About 70% of them never have a significant American friend while they're here. They never get invited into an American home, let alone a Christian one. And we're trying to change that statistic. We are trying to encourage believers in the area to realize that they can reach out. It's not difficult. They can befriend an international student. And here at the University of Illinois, we have a very unique opportunity. We're number 5 in the nation for total enrollment of international students. We have 13,000 here if you're including visiting scholars. Mm-hmm. We're number 1 in the Big Ten. There's 110 countries here to reach out to. And 80% of them are from what's called the 1040 window, where it's very difficult to hear the gospel or to be a believer. But they have this tremendous window of opportunity while they're here to learn the truth. And we don't want to send them back without hearing that truth.
And one of the unique things with reaching out to these internationals, it's not like you have to study and prepare and it's a lot of work. It's just befriending. It's having them over for a meal. It's showing them the farm. It's taking them to the grocery store. It can be a simple task that, hey, does somebody need a ride to somewhere? And just some little conversation to having them over for a meal, maybe working on a project together in the yard. I mean, there's so many different ways. And I think part of your calling or role or desire or passion is to train us locals on this is how simple it is. Do you have any upcoming scheduled gatherings where somebody says, you know, I could volunteer. I have some time. You know, I could have somebody over to my house and cook a meal, or, you know, I have a car. I could do something as simple as pick them up. Will there be some training if somebody says, hey, you know, how do I get involved? How could I help?
Yes, we're here to come alongside individual believers and churches to encourage them in how to do this. And it really is not complicated. We'll help people get over the low hurdle that there is. All of these people coming here speak English because they have to function at the University of Illinois. So the language is not a problem. God's bringing them right to us. We don't have to learn another language. We don't have to move everything to another country. They're coming here to us. And so we want to empower people to be able to do this, and it's not difficult. You just have to have a heart of love for these people who are coming here.
That's beautiful. I like that. I never really quite thought about the way you said, where you don't have to learn another language, don't have to go to school and practice how to be a friend.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
This is a tremendous opportunity we have, and I think the Lord wants us to be very responsible in stewarding it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill, we'll give this information out at the end of the program, so if somebody's driving along or they don't have a pen available right now, but if somebody's paying attention and they're like filling, I don't know if you'd say a conviction on their heart or a tenderness or an openness to volunteering or to know more about the ministry work that you and Donna are doing, how could they get in touch with you? Is there a website and is there a phone number for somebody that just wants to call and say, hey, I have some questions. Would this work? Or maybe we could do this? Or is there going to be some training we can come and be a part of?
Yes, we'd love to talk to anyone who feels a tug on their heart to be involved in some way. And they can, first of all, check the website for International Friendships Incorporated. And that website address is ifipartners.org. Also, they can give me a call on my cell. It's 217-621-3846. And I'm glad to talk with them, any questions they might have or desires they might have to reach out.
So ifipartners.org, and IFI stands for International Friendships, Inc. So ifipartners.org, or call Bill at 217-621-3846, 217-621-3846. Now, I know, Bill, you've been a part of our English conversation class for some months, and you just have a passion. I know your students, you're 6 or 8 or 9, you have very faithful, regular ones. And I think one of the things that you do is you talk slowly, you show compassion and care, and they seem to be very engaged. And lately we've been studying the Bible, which is a real interesting springboard, because usually we study terms, or they're going to go to the dentist, what are some questions they'd ask, or they're going to learn to garden. And so we typically have our format, but studying the Bible is an added blessing. How are they responding to the Bible and Christianity in general?
They respond very positively. They are very quick to pick up on genuine love. Mm-hmm. If you have a heart that really cares about them, they'll start to sense that.
Yeah.
And when they sense that, they begin to trust you, and they'll look to you for understanding of what you believe. We don't push people to share the gospel quickly with our students. Friendship is the main thing. And being a genuine friend, whether they ever accept Christ or not, we want to be friends with them, care about them. But usually, when they realize that care is there for them, they will begin to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And we can share with them very basic things. I've had students arrive around Christmas time, and I've asked them, have you ever heard of the birth of Jesus? And they'll say, no, who's that? Mm-hmm. So we don't realize the vacuum that exists in the lives of some of the people coming here. Mm-hmm. And we can supply them with very basic truth that will affect their lives for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming that you're always looking for volunteers. Are you especially looking for volunteers now, or is it just always?
Yes, this is a very important time for us. We are building our team of volunteers. We're looking for people who just have that heart to reach out in love and show hospitality and friendship. That's a very easy thing to do, just getting together with them a few times in the semester. It might be for a meal around your table at home. They love to enter Americans' homes. It might be for a fun activity, or taking them shopping, or going to a local sports event. Mm. Whatever you like to do yourself, just include an international student in that, and you will build a friendship that's going to last for life.
And unlike when you volunteer for me and you volunteer once, you're a lifer, so that means like you have to volunteer forever. This could be something they do for a semester, a few times for a month, but you do desire as many volunteers as possible, because there's so many students that have never been in an American's home or haven't built a relationship with somebody, with a family. So this could be a family that kind of adopts this international student for a few times, or maybe once a quarter or a few times a semester, to a single person. But ideally, it'd be maybe a commitment for a year or for a period of time so they can get to know each other and build that relationship.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right, and we'll have other activities, too, that people can participate in, some picnics, welcoming picnics and that type of thing. So if you want to ease your way into it, that's one way to do it. But I think that as you reach out and discover the response of these students, that you'll wonder why you haven't done this a long time before.
And I'm thinking, you know, my prayer would be, and I'd get so excited if, like, 10 or 15 or 20 of you called in today or tracked Bill down.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know he would say, hey, we have like 15 new people. I'll put on a special training for them. We could hold it here at the Great News Radio Center.
That's an idea.
Somewhere
that's
convenient
a great idea.
For you, Bill.
Just we just had a whole idea right here.
Yeah, we could start scheduling it.
Wow.
Okay, it's going to happen here. Training for international students to befriend them. But to find out more about the special ministry reaching internationals here on the campus of the University of Illinois, you can go to ifipartners.org, ifipartners.org, or you can call Bill directly at 217-621-3846, 217-621-3846. They're looking for volunteers. And Bill, we didn't get to get into some of your testimony, but he's a landscaping engineer, did that for many, many years, and God kind of later in his career kind of did this whole shift. You and Don have always reached out to internationals and befriended them and felt a calling to share the good news message of Jesus, but this was something just over this last year or two where you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to quit my full-time job. I've been working 40, 50, 70 hours a week and going to transition the energy and effort into this. And I think you're about 80 or 90% supported at this point. So you could always use some financial help or assistance too, right?
Yes, the financial support is important, the ongoing support, not only for my position, but also for activities that we'll be doing, outreach activities. Mm-hmm. So that's another very important way that people can get involved in this. And I'm just so thankful for those who have already become involved financially and have made this possible for us to launch this ministry here in the community. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure. So ifipartners.org or call Bill directly at 217-621-3846. That's 217-621-3846. Well, there you have it. Reach out to an international student. Get some training with Bill. International Friendships, Inc., a great ministry here on the campus of the University of Illinois and also 29 other or 28 other campuses throughout the area. They're doing a great work, and you can be a part of it. So ifipartners.org.
Thank you, Bill and Donna. Thank you,
Bill.
Thank
we'll
you
wave over
much.
To Donna. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
God bless you.
Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Bill Erickson with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.